This is Jack Burton in the Pork Chop Express, and I'm talking to whoever's listening out there.
It's a pretty amazing planet we live on here, and a man'd have to be some kind of fool to think we're all alone in this universe.
There is a hidden world where ancient evil weaves a modern mystery.
What's going on here? Is this some kind of...
magic. The darkest magic.
Ow!
They call it Little China.
Finally, we shall bring order out of chaos.
It's where big trouble was waiting for Jack Burton.
Who?
Jack Burton. Me.
Jack.
Jack.
Jack!
They told him to go to hell.
You make one move.
And that's just where he's going.
Somebody, I don't care who, tell me what is going on.
A Blade Runner's job is to hunt down replicants. Manufactured humans you can't tell from the real thing.
What's this?
Roy Batty. Probably the leader.
There was just one outfit making replicants that superhuman. The Terrell Corporation.
Jack Burton's coming to rescue your summer.
Hey, what more can a guy ask for?
20th Century Fox presents Kurt Russell in John Carpenter's Big Trouble in Little China.
It's all in the reflexes.
Welcome back to another episode of Master Debaters Presents Was It Worth It? Was It Worth It is the podcast where I get taken on a journey through the annals of movie history and see all the quote-unquote classics, sometimes not so classic, movies that I should have already seen. This is a bit of a special episode for multiple reasons.
It's live.
It's live in person.
With real mics.
Yeah, Ethan is across me and it's weird.
We've never met before. Or you, Sean. The lovely Sean.
First time I've been in the same room as Ethan. Yeah, yeah.
I thought this was what you did like every week.
That what we do? Or just on Skype?
Ah, okay.
Never met him.
No?
Probably met. What a magical night.
Hello? We've probably had more radio time of my life falling apart than actual radio hours. Me talking to you as my sounding board.
I'm playing Agony Uncle.
Having no one to talk to, this total stranger with a beard.
But as you can probably tell, there's another lovely voice. And it is Sean from the Master Debaters podcast.
Hello, woo! Hello, hello. How are we? One's two.
It's dead good because originally, the Was It Worth It was a segment.
Yeah, it was me and you, wasn't it?
On the Master Debaters podcast. No, we started it because Michael...
Oh, we did present, didn't we? Sorry.
Michael had never seen Good Will Hunting, Shawshank Redemption, or Pulp Fiction.
Not your fault, Will.
It's not Will's fault.
Don't fuck with me, man.
I got them apples.
See, good film.
Yeah, great film.
Good film.
And like, same as most Master Debaters segments, we do it three times and then we just leave it.
Mm.
But I always thought it had legs and it was definitely worth carrying on.
We ran with it.
Has it been worth it?
It has been worth it. So I got it over. I got my lovely friend Ethan involved. And we've been doing lots of lovely episodes. But this is the very first one that you're on, Sean.
Thank you. I'm pleased to be part of it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So what do you tell people what the film we're talking about, Sean?
Well, if I'm being honest, I didn't know this was happening tonight. I was under the impression that I was coming over to Toff's house to watch a bad film that was so shit it was good.
Yeah, Troll 2 is coming. We'll do it.
Troll 2. That's what I thought we were watching.
I think the caveat of us having to be naked for this show also wasn't expected, but no,
wasn't.
I'm rolling with it.
It wasn't. I wouldn't have had that pasta bake.
It's expected.
It's like a stack of pennies, my dick. This is ridiculous. I'm freezing.
It's quite cold, isn't it?
The film we're watching, the film we have.
Well,
we have
speaking
watched,
of Wangs, we're here to watch.
Yeah, speaking of Wangs. Wangs. That's a good. That's a good segue.
He knows his stuff.
Yeah, speaking of Wangs, we've watched and we're here to talk about Big Trouble in Little China.
Speaking of Wangs. That's.
Speaking of Wangs.
That keeps working.
Wang!
Willie!
Call the president.
Yeah, it's the first time Ethan and Sean have met as well, so it's nice not coming together.
Good night to first.
Yeah.
When I walked into the house, you had this, what did you say? Like, fuck no, you're taller than I thought.
Yeah, Ethan's taller, and I don't like how tall he is.
Okay. I emasculated him immediately.
Yeah, because Michael's the tallest one out of the three of us.
He is, yeah.
And I've grown up with him. It's good. I've grown up with him, so I'm used to it. But this new man walks into my house, this strange man.
And into your life.
He's taller than me.
Immediately emasculates you.
Yeah.
How tall is Michael then?
6'2".
What, okay, what, same as me
then. Build that or actual height?
Oh, he's built at like 6'4".
Yeah. Same as me.
Yeah, so it's nice. We're all together.
Yeah, but he's got his airlines like right at the front.
Mine's going back now. I can't laugh at him. That's what I'm wearing.
So this is by choice. I know this is shaved. My hairline's right at the front. Right at the front.
It's good to have a low forehead though, because then you know that you're never going to go bald. Like this is starting to peter out.
He's called me low brow.
Yeah, but you mean
this is becoming a peninsula.
You've done well.
Because you look like a caveman, Sean. You never go bald.
It's like Nova Scotia in Canada.
I'm also good at taking headbutts. Oh, thanks very much. Thank you. Thank you.
I'll take a low brow for good airline.
I used to be 6'3" before I played rugby. It's just.
Didn't always look like this.
The bigger boys.
Yeah, so this is a lovely episode, and we'll see how it goes. It might get tit up.
It's nice and relaxing. This is actually good now. It's nice to sit around a table and talk into a table mic.
Yeah. Nice.
We've got these like professional production elbow mics, and we're literally leaning back in our armchairs.
This is something I'm not used to. If I'm honest, I'm used to like a little tiny tripod in front of me.
Used to leaning over it because Toffer shouts at you every time you move away from me.
Sean, fire from the mic. Don't say that.
You can be followed anywhere in the room with your mic.
Don't say that.
Don't say that, Sean.
Nobody knows. Nobody hears me say that.
No,
it just gets.
Ow! Gets you get headsets like those Britney Spears things. So, Big Trouble in Little China, Toffer, what attracted you to this John Carpenter directed 1985 film that became a classic but wasn't well received when it first came out?
I can tell it wasn't very well received just by how fucking weird it is. But before we get into that, we'll start the show like we start every other show. And we'll start with Sean because Sean's new to the show.
Boom!
Sean, Big Trouble in Little China.
Yes, mate.
When did this film first come into your life, and what was your initial reaction?
Well, it was, as you know, during my childhood, especially from like 6 to 12, I didn't really play outside because the bigger boys.
Bigger boys, yeah. I'm with you.
So I'd sit in and watch films.
The bigger boys.
and like I'd watch all the Arnie films, Commando, etc., and all those kind of 80s films. And I remember my mum saying that... Big Trouble in Little China was her favourite kind of 80s film.
Yes.
So she... Which film? It made me really awkward. I'm like... so she said it was one of her favourite films. So,
you're doing great. Keep going.
So we went and got a copy from...
The video store.
Blockbuster.
Great.
Back in the day.
Yes, Blockbuster.
Once a month. It was only like a once a month treat, Blockbuster, because how expensive it was then. Before it went bankrupt and became near a free. But yeah, so we got this tape, VHS, and we watch it, and then we rewind it and watch it again, to the point where we went and got, you know, those double-decker tapes, remember?
Yeah.
And we copied it. So we took it to someone and we copied it. Oh, back in the day.
Breaking the little tab off on the bottom of the video.
Break the little tab off and put the recording tab. So we watched it over and over and over again. We watched it so much that my mum actually hates the film, cannot stand it, because me and my brother would watch it back to back for days and days. It is a fantastic, great, funny film.
Loved it from the get-go, mate.
It from the start. It's silly. It's comic booky.
It is very comic booky.
Just the right enough amount of silliness for someone who's like 10, 11, who seen kung fu films for the first time, thinks how brilliant it is. Honestly, I thought it was really, really good. I didn't, I'm sure we'll get into this later. I spent a lot of my young life thinking that the American was the hero in the story. Kurt Russell was the hero. Jack Burton, yeah. And actually, when you watch it back now as an adult, you realise that Wong's the hero.
Is his name Wong or Wang?
Is it Wong?
Are you Wong?
Is that racist?
I think that's Wong.
Is that racist? That's Wong.
Wang.
Wang.
It's Wang.
Wang. Yeah, Wang's the hero.
Okay, Ethan. Over
you were
to
Wong
you.
About Wang's name.
Wong about Wang.
Wong.
This might get very racist.
Might.
If we are offending any Asians out there, I'm sorry.
Saying it's all stated. I ain't got time to edit. So, Ethan, first impression of the film. When did you first watch it? All that shit.
I guess because I already knew Kurt Russell from seeing Escape from New York.
Where is this on Kurt Russell's resume?
Well, for him, apart from Escape from New York, I think it's his favourite role in film.
He does. I have read that he does love this.
And he said in multiple interviews, like when it first came out, they all kind of got, well, you got more information on this than I, but they all got the joke. And he, like, this is his second favourite character. And it kind of grew over time that people kind of picked up on home video. Because when it came out, like you've eloquently put, it was a bit weird. No one really kind of got it. it also got this kind of like Matrixy kind of kung fu kind of thing that wasn't really kind of part of Western cinema at the time, predating the Matrix by what, 14 or 15 years?
Yeah, something like that.
It's just an awesome film, and it is completely bonkers and weird. It's got body horror elements, like one of the Three Storms that like blows up. It's got that.
Is that what they are? Three Storms.
The Three Storms. That's their name.
It's got the floating storms. Head, the Beholder thing from Dungeons and Dragons with the fucking eyeballs all over it and stuff. It's just got so many like cool, amazing images in it. Plus, it's a kung fu film. It's a bit sci-fi. It's got wizards in it. Kurt Russell, who's like fucking awesome in everything,
and he's mullet.
And even though he is a kind of a big star, he's more of a kind of a cult figure, isn't he, still?
I'd say so, yeah.
And I think he should have been a far bigger star than he already is, even though he's just been in Guardians of the Galaxy last year, the biggest film of the year. So what do I know?
What had he been in, like...
Prior to this, yeah. I'm trying to think myself. Because, like, he was a big 80s star, Kurt Russell. But
he
like,
goes back to the 60s.
Yeah, and it was, to be fair, it was probably quite brave of him to take this kind of a job on.
I think
to make him look a bit ridiculous.
I think he took this on purely for his trust for John Carpenter.
Yeah. Apparently, from what I understand, from what I've read and things like that, is that the person who wrote the script wrote it as the American was the stumbling buffoon, and that really it was the Asian person that was the hero. But the American person spent the entire movie believing that they were the hero and they were the
Whole film he thinks he's the hero.
He's the hero, and apparently it's meant to be. It's still there. It's obvious, but it's supposed to be more obvious.
Yeah,
they've actually made it more subtle.
The guy that wrote it is W.D. Richter. He wrote The Adventures of Frog in the Throat, The Adventures of Buckaroo Banzai across
which
the...
Which is another wacky film, apparently.
Which also didn't do well, but then kind of Buckaroo gained Banzai. Prominence. Obviously loved by Kevin Smith, who was going to come out of that TV series like last year, but then it kind of fell apart.
Apparently, it's a Netflix thing.
Okay.
He's been having meetings with Netflix, and that's apparently one of the properties he's trying to take over there.
But Carpenter and Russell first met when Kurt Russell played Elvis.
See, I know that.
In the
I knew
film
that from
Elvis.
The show. Elvis.
Oh, I knew that.
And he thought, if he can play Elvis, because it is actually really good. I'm not sure if he got an Oscar nomination for that as well. But
am I right in saying The Thing was after this?
Yes. Elvis is 78, and then Carpenter did that, I think, when Halloween was being made and like being edited. Mm. He got this TV job just to make ends meet because he didn't get paid, I don't think, that much for Halloween. Mm. And then Escape from New York rolls around, and he thought, I love fucking Kurt Russell now.
That's
he's an actor
who
can pull anything
show,
off.
Yeah,
they were like firm friends with him. So he gives him the part of Snake Plissken. They fall in love again. They do The Thing. And this, I guess, working relationship that I guess only Scorsese and Robert De Niro have had in their career, now replaced by Leonardo DiCaprio. But they've always worked together. They're each other's favourite artiste, if you will. Mm. And I think this is one of the last things they did together. I think the next thing they did after this was...
Tango and Cash.
Escape from L.A. No, it's Tango and Cash.
No,
sorry. But that's another amazing film if you've not
that
seen it.
I haven't seen that either.
It's another great film.
If you love Kurt Russell.
I do. I am. Look, film by film, I am really enjoying Kurt Russell more and more. And this, like, the biggest, like...
This is the most Kurt Russell film,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, this is a bit of a, like we've all said.
Well, this is the reason
film.
I think James Gunn wanted him in...
Guardians.
Yeah.
I do believe that this film would have... fell on its arse and not worked at all if anybody else was in that role. I think Kurt Russell holds this film. It's a stupid film, but Kurt Russell sort of makes it less so. Because this should have been like Van Damme, but looking at this film, this like is like a Van Damme sliced alone film.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
And
yeah.
The fact that Kurt Russell...
That's why you would love Tango and Cash, by the way.
But he just, I don't know, something about Kurt Russell being in this film that stops it... Like tipping over the edge.
I feel the same. It's a pretty general subject, but Raul Julia in Street Fighter.
Oh, what a film!
Exactly the same.
I've never seen that.
Is there a bad guy?
Is
there a bad guy? Bison? Is there a
the
bad
day
guy?
I rode into your village. It was the most important day of your life. But for me,
As a sidebar to that, last year Kylie Minogue revealed that she was having an affair with Van Damme behind each of their respective partners' backs.
Was she?
Yeah.
Oh, to be fair, I'd fuck Jean-Claude Van Damme if I could.
Not now.
I'd do them both. Not now. Not after the cocaine and the dishevelled face thing.
We don't let Kylie or Van Damme.
Both of them.
Do you know what I mean? That's what you want.
Sorry,
get
Kylie.
Get in his will. That's all you need to do. Get in his will.
One of the notes I have got from the very start of the film, because we follow Jack Burton. Mm-hmm. What is the plot, Sean? Blast everyone with a plot, mate.
From what I can remember, Jack Burton is a truck driver.
Yeah.
He goes to see his friend Wang and they go to pick up someone at the airport.
Wang or Wong?
Wang. It's Wang.
That's number Wang. Yeah.
I'm all right with that.
I'll do it.
I'm all right with that.
Yeah, so they go to pick up someone at the airport.
Well, no, he loses a game.
He loses his truck.
No, he wins a game.
He wins the game against... Yeah, which leaves Wang penniless.
Yes.
So he agrees to take Wang to the airport to pick up the girl that's coming in from China.
Yeah. Is she a mail order bride?
No. I think he's been paying to get her over. Like, okay. You know, like when the...
She's way out of his league.
Come in, they buy, they save money up, and then they get ready to
Way out of his league.
Yeah, massively.
Yeah, she gets to the airport and goes, huh, can we discuss this?
For some reason, Kim Cattrall's there. Because she's meeting another...
Picking up another Asian.
Asian girl.
Yeah, you can say Asian, fine. Yeah. It's fine.
Yeah, I don't see race, myself. I don't even know.
Looking for a girl with eyes of creamy jade, Mr. Asian. Button.
What? yeah, so they... then he loses... They meet a gang who kidnap one of the girls with green eyes. They take Kim Cattrall as well because she's got green eyes, and they think, well, fuck it, we've got two bitches with green eyes. We'll just take both of them because we're hard. There's a bloke there who looks like he's trying to be 20, but he's actually 47.
In his very stereotypically super racist glasses.
Wearing glasses that, the most Asian glasses I've ever seen in my life. they kidnap him. They go to a funeral. He loses his truck, and then the rest of it's about him trying to get his truck back.
There you go.
Lovely. That's the gist of it. Basically. Forget the women.
American man gets thrown into a situation he's not comfortable with, and all he does, all he wants is his truck back.
All he wants is his truck back. And he's got good reflexes.
And the film's full of like weird, cool monsters, like the Chinese wild man or that giant fish thing that comes out of the cave wall.
Yes, and that weird werewolfy type thing.
Is that one of the Howls?
Chinese wild man.
Is that, okay. Yeah, it comes back at the
Asian
end
Bigfoot,
as well.
Asian Bigfoot, basically.
Asian Bigfoot. Is that an actual
Asian
thing?
Bigfoot.
Yeah.
Was it written by an Asian man?
No, W.D. Richter. That's the guy that...
Richter. WD could stand for Wang.
Wang Dong, Dong. Richter.
Yeah. Wang Dong.
Now, the Chinese wild man or the Yaren is one of the things, or a Yeti, depending if you're in the Himalayas or like.
You said Yeti, I don't know.
More of a Chinese, yeah.
Look, we can all be clever. I've got a laptop in front of me. Do you know what I mean? Like...
The 55 different names for wild man and Bigfoot.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's a weird, weird film. One of the early notes I've got, because he's a truck driver, he doesn't look at the road very much.
The Pork Shop Express.
He does this a lot.
Look. A lot of time on the radio.
But yeah, who's he talking to?
To whoever's listening. The truckers. Like he says.
And look, the opening, he's driving, he's literally 30, 40 seconds of him winding down a radio. If I'd have been on the other trucks, I'd have been off.
Gone.
Do you know what I mean? I'm not listening to that.
So when a 12-foot psychopath pins your favourite head against the bar wall and says, have you paid your dues, Jack? Yes, sir, the check is in the mail.
There are some great quotes from
they
him.
Are the, yeah.
He hasn't got a handle. He uses his real name as well. That's a big no-no on the radio. You've got to use a handle. What would your handle be?
Rubber Duck. That's in the Convoy movie with Chris Christopherson.
I don't know. I hadn't prepared.
Yeah, fucking half hell, bitch.
Rubber Duck. I don't know. Big Daddy.
Yeah.
Love my daddy.
Easy.
Yeah. He's another toucher as well, Big Daddy. Allegedly. Allegedly.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. Shirley Crabtree.
Insiders say. Allegedly. Yeah. There you go.
Touchy flat cap.
He's a cool motherfucker though, Jack Burton. Sunglasses in the daytime. Like in the
I used to own that vest, by the way. I bought it on eBay and then it came too small, so I could never wear it. But I love he's a Jack Burton vest.
Is he a very cosplay character? Because he looks like he could be.
Oh,
he'd
easily,
be
yeah.
A really subtle one. Like you'd have to be a big fan, a big trying to see a bloke walking around in a tank top.
But I think that'd get over now.
If you went as him with the tank top and the dress like that, and you had the three storms with you. Then that might make more... I think people would be more obvious to it.
It is a theme of the film, isn't he? Like Sean's touched on, he stumbles his way through the film, doesn't he? And he sort of gets his hand held by Wang or Wong.
What?
Who sort of pulls him out of all these situations.
He does get saved a lot. And to be fair, though, if I think realistically, that is how most of us... If you were on the way to work tomorrow and you were thrust into that situation,
yeah.
I mean, A, Charlie wouldn't be happy.
No.
But B, you know, if someone stole your car at a funeral in the street...
Yeah.
And you end up having to fight Asian men that could fly.
Okay, yeah.
You know, I think that's how you'd respond. You wouldn't be like...
I would literally latch to the first Chinese person I ever thought.
Help me! Teach me kung... I know kung fu. Show me.
Before we get into the deeper review of the film, we'll just jump to a podcast promo from another Fire podcast. Here we go.
Your guide to cinema etiquette from the Countdown Movie and TV Reviews podcast. Tip 43.
When attending the cinema with your good friends or significant other, don't assume anyone else has any interest in what you have to say. So, always remember...
Whisper, fuckface. It's not rocket science. For more useful cinema etiquette, join Paul and Wayne on the Countdown Movie and TV Reviews podcast at Podomatic on iTunes or your favorite podcast app.
Is that really Kurt Russell?
Yeah, from the 60s.
The computer wore tennis shoes. Walt Disney.
He was a Disney kid, wasn't he?
Yes, we're back. Okay. We're just discussing Kurt Russell's early career as a Disney kid, the Cat from Space, Toby Tyler, and the Computer War 10 issues. Over to you, Toffer, the host.
Yeah, welcome back. So was it worth it? We touched on it before, like, why did I watch this film? It was one of them where I'd always, like, I'd seen that head blowing up, you know, where his head goes massive.
Oh.
Yeah, I'd seen it, and I always thought, I never sort of figured out what it was, and there's loads of visuals from the film that I knew just from...
I still think when they were handing out superpowers, he shit out. Like, well, they've gone, David LaPanza, I'm in a room, and gone, you, I will give you the power of flight and lightning.
Yeah.
Not top one, boss. Cheers, boss. You, I can't remember what the second one is.
What is the second one? So there's three. What are they? Storm.
That's what I'm saying. Lightning. His power is so shit. It's below the one. I can't remember.
So what's the second one? Lightning.
Wind, fire. So what's the other one? Well, electricity. The four storms, the four three elements. Whatever.
Either way. One of them.
I don't know, because there's got definitely four elements, because Bruce Willis found the fifth.
Bruce Willis.
His superpower is pretty much explode.
From rain, Pokemon. Thunder, and lightning. Sorry, there we are.
So one's rain.
Does he ever do it? Does he ever use it?
I think so.
Do they all use their powers?
The lightning one definitely.
It rains outside the broth when the sky goes green when they drop out of it, I think. Yeah. But is it already raining?
I do think.
Yeah, because that weird green sky.
It is raining.
Yeah.
But it is a testament to how shit his power is that we still rank it. Well, I still rank it below a pair, I can't remember.
Yeah, he has got every 80s/90s Asian actor in the world in this film.
It has got the. And again, I had to search for it on Google. I just literally Googled generic Asian bad guy.
Al Leong.
And Al Leong. Yeah,
is he the one from Wayne's World as well?
And he's in Die Hard. He eats the Krispy Kreme, the crunchy bar, the chocolate bar.
He was in
The Lobby.
Oh, what's the one with the
Bill and Ted's as Genghis Khan.
He was in Genghis Khan. He plays one of the bad guys in Last Action Hero.
Yes.
But he gets hit in the head with the ice cream cone. That's Al Leong.
Is he in Last Action Hero?
Yeah, he's in Last Action Hero.
Oh, he's on the car with the big machine gun on the back. The same minigun.
Again, with the generic bad guy gun.
Generic bad guy gun.
Yeah. Of the 80s and 90s. So he's in. He's in Under Siege as well. Not Under Siege 2. He's in Under Siege 2. He's on the train one. Yeah.
On the train. Which I think might be even better than the one on the boat.
I do prefer the one on the train over the boat one. I do. I'm not a big fan of Tommy Lee Jones.
And both films ever seen when they go, Casey fucking Ryback?
Ryback?
And they look through the files. It's like,
Casey,
who is he?
Ryback.
What are you doing on my...
stars. My guy's a goddamn war hero.
I'm Steven Seagal, and I was my dog.
It's a great example as well. They build up this bad guy of being this bad guy.
Yeah.
So if Under Siege 2, for example, I can't think of the actor's name, but he's got white hair, big stocky bloke.
Oh, Everett McGill, who's in Dune and People Under the Stairs.
Everett
there
McGill.
You go. He went to RADA in London.
I like that.
He's good for shit like this. He's good for shit like this.
Everett McGill. And he's this big, massive, huge.
He's like a movie Google.
He executes his own men. He's shown as like this warrior. Steven Seagal walks into the kitchen with him and crosses his hands.
Okay.
And the bad guy comes at him. In about 15 seconds, Steven Seagal breaks his neck.
Because it's Steven Seagal.
He doesn't get a scratch on him.
Yeah.
He cuts the bloke.
That must be in his contract.
Yeah.
It probably was, because he's a massive cunt.
At no point will I be made to look weak. But then saying that, he's only like Hogan. Do you know what I mean?
Well, I've got that as a note, actually. Jack Burton gets the Hogan push straight away.
He does the
Hogan push. Like, he's just over. Like, straight away.
Get off my ship, brother.
The little conversation with the Asian man to... I can't remember who he's talking to. But he's like bigging up Jack Burton. Like, Jack Burton's all this and Jack Burton's that. And he's like... You know Jack Burton ain't here to fuck with.
The bloke from Tremors.
Is he the bloke from Tremors?
Yeah, the bloke right at the start.
The very start.
The narrator.
Yes.
Yeah, he's in Tremors. He plays a shopkeeper in Tremors.
Oh, okay.
Like this bit, I know you guys, people listening to the podcast can't see it, but the bit where in the tribute, the room, and they're doing like the tribute, the martial arts show.
Yeah, it's random.
The ceremony.
Yeah.
What is all that about? It reminds me of, you know, Always Sunny, when they do the man ceremony to initiate the new members into the gang, and the Asian music's playing, and he has to try and kick the... It's the same kind of ridiculousness.
Isn't it meant to be like a hypnosis for them? Because don't their eyes go white when they finish doing their thing?
Weird,
that's
why
it's like lapped on between their eyes, which is obvious content.
Just if he did that, that would not hypnotise me.
Like, don't know. He looks kind of hot in his Harry and pants and his wax chest.
Hi.
Is that racist? Mate,
chill. Just chill.
Lower the tone, you're trying to put me to sleep. Lower the tone, Mr. Asian man.
Another thing I picked up on, if you don't look super Asian, you're going to die. Like, you know when all the Asians come
media
together,
acceptable Asian.
You know when the gangs start kicking off? The ones that don't look mega Asian die straight away.
There are some blatant
look,
people.
Fu Manchu,
the handsome dudes all live to the end.
Fu Manchu, he's dead good and he fucks people up. And like other typical Asian dude fucks people up.
Well, Egg Shen lasts.
That's the guy, Egg Shen.
Yeah, with the dicky eye.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's super Asian. That's why he does well in the film.
He's like, he's past Asian, isn't he? He's like the other way.
He's actually in John Carpenter's Prince of Darkness, the next film John Carpenter did after this, which I don't really
Is this the beginning of the decline for John Carpenter?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, this is, to be fair, as I was watching this, like with other John Carpenter films, like we've just done The Fog and we've done Halloween and we've done The Thing, all of those films you can look at and you can go,
classics.
This
still,
is a John Carpenter film. This one doesn't look John Carpenter at all.
It's because he's not. He didn't write it though. He just directed it. This was a directing job he did, so it wasn't really his kind of project. But I still think it's one of his best ones.
Mm.
But I don't, like you said, it almost like Steven Spielberg, which you hate, but like Jaws all through, and he did Close Encounters, and then he did like Indiana Jones, then Indiana Jones 2, then E.T. had this corridor of films, which was like one amazing classic, which still holds up even today.
Mm.
John Carpenter along the same timeline had Escape from New York, The Thing, Halloween, Christine, which another film he directed wasn't his script.
Of course, yeah, he did direct Christine.
Or Starman, because everyone complained that The Thing was terrible and too horrific, so he does like the super nice alien thing as an answer to E.T. the previous year. But after Big Trouble in Little China, it all seems to kind of fall apart. Cause Zay Lives pretty good. You haven't seen that yet. And no. Prince of Darkness is quite good. But then after that, there was this gulf of nothing really going on good.
And then Ghost of Mars brings it all back? Yeah?
No, In the Mouth of Madness was the last great Carpenter film, I think.
I like Ghost of Mars. A lot.
I've never seen it.
It used to, as a child, it scared
me. Ice Cube?
Yes. Ice Cube in Mars.
Mate,
fucking genius.
You lost me at Ice Cube.
Fuck,
that wasn't followed by Friday.
Racism.
And fact fans, you probably told me this, Marilyn Manson was meant to play the head ghost, wasn't he? And then they couldn't get him, he pulled out.
Yeah.
And they got someone, and they just made him look like him.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's a good shit film. Good shit film.
I'll have
to watch that out. But this doesn't strike me as a Carpenter film. So it baffled me. Like I reminded myself halfway through that it was a John Carpenter directed film. Because it's not that I've picked up on. It's not got the typical John Carpenter long shots and the typical style. It just looks like he's gone, yeah, fuck it, we'll do whatever.
I think, but like I mentioned before, when he did Starman, because everyone complained about The Thing, and he did the taking a directing job because he needed a hit at that point because The Thing failed. I think he was like hated his own style and was trying to get away with it. So I think this is where the sweater unravels. And you lose that Carpenter style and that Carpenter film. When I think he came under fire for some of his directing, which was unfounded, and then he kind of hated him, maybe his own work, or tried to get away from it, maybe. Thanks, Ethan. That was a pearl of wisdom.
No, Max, no,
I was lending it.
I was like getting the skeptical hippo look from you two.
No, I was taking it all in. No, I think you are right. Like, especially, like you say, with the thing didn't work, which, again, looking back now, it's seen as like a...
Yeah,
classic, isn't it? It's like a separate staple of horror.
But it's because it opened a month after E.T. Everyone fell in love with E.T. Went The Thing. Ugh,
well, it
horrible.
Is, it is, but like now, if you went to watch like La La Land, and then the week after that was it, you'd be a bit deflated, wouldn't you?
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Like so,
wasn't one was February, one was October.
That's what I'm saying. Exactly. So, I'm saying it's the same thing, isn't it?
Yeah,
pernickety.
So you have to. What I'm saying is you'd want to get that flow right, and if he's getting criticism for his style. You'd want to do something which is completely different to try and show people you can do different things. And the answer to that is Big Trouble in Little China, because this film is very, very different.
It is.
And but it was a flop, and then the next film we did was Prince of Darkness, which was back to his Carpenter style with the black credits with just his name.
How did that do?
Not great, I don't think.
So this
did all right.
Be the it was a label.
And then he did They Live.
All that's coming out of this, I feel very, very sorry for John Carpenter. He's like...
He just looks like a pissed off old man now. Like he just hates everyone.
All his films flopped. He didn't make no money, but everyone tells him how fucking good they were.
Like, that's actually.
Van Gogh in Love
Painting. Would you rather be like a director that's made loads of money, but everyone considers your films gash, or this director that never made any money, but everyone's like, oh, it's a masterpiece.
Money.
I'll take.
Show me the money.
Gotta make that paper.
I love the black man.
I love the money.
Also, we've not mentioned Lo Pan himself, James Hong, who was in Blade Runner as the man who just has eyes.
Fuck, River. Blade Runner.
Such a good film.
It's
so visually pleasing.
Fuck off. So is RoboCop.
I like Blade Runner. I realise its problems, but I still think it looks amazing and there's loads of great bits in it.
Yeah, and with the director's cut and the way they look at it and knowing some of the stuff you know about.
And I still think I like the voiceover, although you're not allowed to say it anymore.
Like? Yeah.
Have you seen the new one?
No, I haven't.
Oh, you'll like that, I think. It's less visuals though. The soundtrack stinks.
I'll try. I haven't watched it at all.
On this show...
It's my favourite film last year.
It is a running thing that... Blade Runner was a film that I would always avoid, and Ethan constantly tries to get me to watch it.
But it's a piece of film history.
I've watched it, and it's fucking
without Blade Runner, you don't get Star Wars Episode 1, you don't get Coruscant. the city, whatever, any future cityscape owes itself to Blade Runner.
You know what it looks like? It looks like, you know, the underworld in Demolition Man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's entirely what Blade Runner's landscape is.
Because of Blade Runner.
That, it's that neo,
but
like,
that was
that
better.
Noir, isn't it?
But that was better.
Futuristic noir.
Come on there, when the cars are flying and there's like the sun flare off the lens, the camera bounce, like,
does it make
like really there?
Does
Douglas Trumbull did the special effects. He did like 2001.
Something that's never been done before.
Does it make the film good though?
Come on, you got to admit, 1982, and it looks fucking great.
It looks good, but the film shit. But that's what people, it is.
To back you up on that, though,
like
to be fair, and I've always said this about Ridley Scott, which evident me saying this now, I never worked with him, but I always think Ridley Scott, like Guillermo del Toro, should have been a film designer and not a director. Because all his films look amazing. Like, Legend looks fucking amazing, but the film kind of falls apart. And I think he's always traded off Blade Runner a little bit and more Alien, which is 35 years ago. And all these films, like, what's that thing with Leonardo DiCaprio as a CIA man a couple of years ago?
Leonardo DiCaprio.
Oh.
And then Robin Hood and stuff.
Robin Hood.
What's Leonardo DiCaprio?
Right. What's
this one?
I think what that one was. Leonardo DiCaprio.
And like American Shutter Gangster. Island? They're all like competent films, but they look amazing, but they never seem to kind of gel. And I feel the same about Guillermo del Toro. Maybe Hellboy, like, but like. The Shape of Water, everyone's falling over themselves
about
it.
That's
actually a good
film.
All right.
It's a good. It's not like magnificent.
It's not. Everyone's going, oh my God, it's the second coming of Christ. It's not. Yeah. It's a good film. It's just like, relax, everybody.
The other shit film, Lady Bird.
Never seen it.
Everyone's licking out Lady Bird.
Is that the one with Saoirse Ronan?
Yeah, and it's like the douchiest hipster film ever. Like, it's full of people that
don't
like.
It's an indie film, isn't it? They have to be like.
Yeah, but it's too indie, and it's too. It's just too festival wanker. Like, you've got to be a mega, mega movie arsehole to like this film.
In my movies, I like nudity, robots and special powers are all three in the same character.
This is why 80s
yes.
films like that phenomenally.
It's too douchey. It's too, I'm going to go listen to vinyls. That is, it's that sort of film, and it's not for me at all.
Body of Lies, 2008, when he's a CIA man.
Oh, okay.
I've not seen it. I have seen a lot of films, and I would consider myself a bit of a cinemaphile.
A what?
Cinemaphile.
Say that again for me, please. One more time.
Cinemaphile.
I'll edit that.
Can
you just say pedophile?
I'm pedophile.
All right. Yeah, Alien Covenant was a bit rubbish. Prometheus was a bit flat.
Prometheus was very flat. I was very excited. But then saying that, Aliens 3 wasn't brilliant.
No.
And neither was Resurrection.
I'm Blade Runner on that, though. I'm a bit Blade Runner and Alien 3. I know it's got flaws, but I still like it.
Big English cast. Massive English cast.
That's what lets it down, because everyone looks the same, because they've all got a shaved head.
Yeah.
A bit confusing.
Thing. Obviously, Alien itself is a classic. Aliens was very good. Bill
Aliens.
Paxton were good. And then apparently that line was ad-libbed as well.
Game over, man.
I know that one.
I know these.
Let's put her in charge.
There's back to Big Trouble in Little China, though.
Oh, yeah, of course, yeah.
He kisses Kim Cattrall without consent, which is very 80s. And that does happen in Blade Runner.
I'm just going to say this. I'm going to go on record. This is probably going to unravel my life in the future. But, like, a lot of girls, for the most part, kind of like a man taking charge and doing things.
Your Honour.
Some girls like a bit of choking.
Yeah.
As long as you say, do you mind if I choke you?
Do you mind if I choke you? Like, can I just
what are you cool with this?
Can I
if you keep constantly updating, going, can I put my hand on your leg now? Yeah. God, yeah. How boring.
You do the, can I fuck you? Yes. Okay, boom.
Can I fuck you?
Women like a bit of
cavalier attitude. Have you ever said that?
Can I penetrate you? But, you know, it was quite obvious at the time they wanted it.
Technically.
That's probably me being a massive choke. You know, you're fucking looking at him.
If she's never said yes, you've
raped. Has
any girl ever said, yes, Sean, I want sex? You've raped every single girl. You're a raper.
I've had people say, like, you know, very, very clear that's what they want, but never directly.
What about when she's taking her pants off and she's literally dry humping on your naked piece as well? And you go, right, I could either make my move now or just wait for her to go, I'm all right.
Where do you draw the line? Do you want written consent?
You know what? It will be soon. This is I legitimately believe this. There'll be like a tick on Facebook. You know, you check in after like a disaster or something. You
try to put
in.
It in without asking.
There'll be a consent thing on Facebook. She gave consent at this time, and you've got it. The man will need it as proof in case she gets buyer's remorse.
The government will give an 8-digit pin. An 8-digit pin.
Your receipt.
You'll have a sex receipt.
Sex receipt.
Here's
your receipt.
Honestly, the way it's going, you will need a sex receipt. I believe that 100%.
A sex receipt.
Yes.
Trying to think of it.
And he does force himself. Jack Burton forces himself on Kim Cattrall.
It's the Charlton Heston school of coming onto a chick. Just grab her by the shoulder, shake her. She's giving you a lip, just give her a little slight slap.
A little backhand.
And then just plant yourself on
like
that.
Leave a mark.
And then she goes, no, no, yes, no, yeah, oh, yes.
And then she loves it.
Yeah.
That's what happens in Blade Runner. Like, he kisses her, he tries to mack her, and she ain't interested. She tries to leave. And then he
I think the problem
shuts the door on her.
It's like kissing a toaster.
The problem with that for me is that, like, those two, they hated each other, apparently, and they've got no chemistry whatsoever. And you can actually
see
that on
screen. You're on
about
Blade Runner now, yeah? You can. That's one of the issues I had with the film. There's no chemistry.
And something that's been cleared up with Blade Runner, because I wasn't sure if they're robots, but apparently they're which they say in the new one, they're genetically engineered people, but they're treated like second-class citizens. So they are human, but they've just been designed and grown in a lab.
Right. So it's worse that he rapes the human.
So there's nothing
robots?
Robotic about them. It's actually DNA and tissue. It's just got serial numbers on all the cells and things.
Huh?
Okay.
But thought they were robots. But then Ridley Scott has alluded to the fact it's set in the same universe as Alien.
So he loves doing shit like that, though.
Synthetics are the thing with the pink, milky blood, and they're the robots, and replicants are the genetic engineered humans. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But it's never explicitly stated what they actually are, what a replicant is. It's apparently a genetically engineered human.
Right.
It's a random episode, eh?
That's why the moral question is, you know, the ones that work in the sex industry or combat, they're being made to do stuff they technically shouldn't be doing, but because they're a product or owned, even though they're human, they're treated like shit.
Work in the sex industry?
Mate, should be this is about sex trafficking. Sex trafficking, big trouble in Little China.
It covers all the bases.
View on sex and sex trafficking. Mm. Like I said earlier, that Yeti. Oh no, they got him through customs.
We got back into the film from talking about not giving consent and rape by talking about sex trafficking. We're back in the movie.
Look at that. Yeah. All comes
good segue.
Welcome. This is what a Masturbators podcast is like.
Pretty much.
Yeah. How the fuck did you get that through customs? That big weird thing with the eyes in its head. Like, at what point does someone bring anything to declare? I got this dog.
I appreciate the fact the sacrificial temple is this ancient thing that's been buried under San Francisco for years,
yeah.
And yet it's got an escalator and neon lights in it.
Yeah,
I like
yeah.
the mix of
the
light and shade of modern and old techniques.
Yeah, because look at the neon lights around the Buddha. The yeah, the weird Buddha thing.
Like, that Buddha statue. Do you know what? I pop that up. Pop. Neon lighting. Get some fucking neon lighting on that.
It's like the petty cash.
Low pan walking around in his fucking caftan going, right, I want some neon lights over there.
If you think about it, right, looking at it, he's not flying. You never want to see his feet. He's on one of them things that the kids had at Christmas.
Oh, a
Segway.
If you're Mike Tyson on a Segway.
Or a hoverboard.
You're on a hoverboard, yeah.
If you listen to this, Google Mike Tyson on a Segway. It's tremendous. He just face plants.
Speaking of Mike Tyson, do you know what is an absolute tune? Mike Tyson singing One Night in Bangkok. You can get it as
from Hangover 2.
Can you really?
From the Hangover 2. It's a full song.
Yeah.
I can't stop listening to it. Honestly, it's so good.
You can say Ace, mate.
It's Ace.
You're in safe space.
Honestly, I like this.
Michael doesn't like you saying
no one shouts at each other. I'm not getting dirty looks every time I say a word that's moderately popular.
Wait till the next episode if we ever do one.
Listen to what Tyson. Back to the film.
Yes.
Speaking of throwing punches.
Try and get back to the film. There you go. Go on, bring that one back in, mate.
Yeah, so we know Mike Tyson as a mean left hook.
Yeah.
Speaking of left hooks.
Well, wasn't Mike Tyson accused of rape?
By Robin Gibbons in the 90s.
Consent, in this film, Russell.
There you go. By who? You said Robert Gibson.
What?
Mike Tyson rape?
Robin Gibbons was a black actress in the 90s. She was in loads of Spike Lee films like Girl 6. They dated.
Yes.
Right.
And I think when they broke up, Mike Tyson maintains that, as you do sometimes, you break up with each other. You don't just usually, sometimes you break up, you never see each other again. A lot of the time, you kind of, it's like this slow decline where a month or two goes by and you hook up and da da da. He said it was that. She said he raped her, I think.
Is that happened now?
He went to jail for it back then.
Did he really?
Yeah, yeah. But he talks about it in his live show. You could probably find it somewhere on the internet. He did
imagine
a live
Mike
show.
Tyson in jail. Mike Tyson is probably one of those that could inadvertently rape someone without realising he's doing it.
Inadvertently rape someone.
Yeah, because it's go, we're going to have sex. And I'll go, okay. Now, I don't want to, but I'm afraid to say no. So I've said yes. So the implication.
Yeah.
And then he's done it. Technically, I didn't want that, but I'm afraid to say no. But he's done it just by being a scary, hard bastard. Like, do you know what I mean? Because he's so scary. He doesn't even realise he's that scary. He thinks he's being nice.
Maybe.
Yeah.
You know, maybe.
Do you want a sex?
Tweet him. Find out.
If you're listening, Mike, I'm only joking. Please don't hurt me. How old is he now? 50 something?
Yeah.
He'd rip my fucking head off.
Oh, he still would. I think he'd still legitimately beat someone to death. Like, I think he should do MMA.
Where's Wong come from or Wang? Where's Wang come from? I've never seen him in anything
there,
before or after.
Well, I think they split up, didn't they, when they came back through the caves? No, they escaped with the girls, didn't they, out of the front of the...
And I want to bet the man.
It's a nice little Power Rangers bit as well.
Yeah, this is very... It's very Mortal Kombat, this bit is.
This is, yeah, where they summon their own, like, massive creatures to fight.
Yeah, we're discussing the bit where they're summoning... Because he can't fight himself, can he, the old man?
No, because he'd sneeze and he'd break it.
They're using their little, like, nail things.
They're using their little amazing... using the thumbs as well, like controllers.
In fact, there's an amazing GIF. You put a Lopan GIF into Google, it's just him going... like that with these little fingernails. It's hilarious.
We need more Lopan GIFs.
We do need Lopan GIFs. One thing I didn't like about the film was Kim Cattrall. I think she's
hot
garbage.
Oh, her acting's awful.
She's in a Scooby-Doo cartoon.
She kind of is, though.
Don't you think, in a sense, this is like an exaggerated Scooby-Doo?
I love that bit.
But look, even this bit is a Scooby-Doo bit.
They're just running backwards
and
forwards.
Chase them in the corridor. Yeah. The scenery is the same. Just the same three rooms.
Fair, they do run backwards and forwards as well, like Scooby-Doo.
Yeah, Scooby-Doo.
It is very
This is an adult version of Scooby-Doo.
It is.
I thought you wouldn't like this, Toffer.
You said that. You said, why didn't you think I wouldn't like this film?
Because I just thought it was too wacky and like out there. And I think you sometimes have a certain idea. I think you perhaps poison the well when you go in with an idea of what you want the film to be and then you disappoint yourself.
The thing is with this film,
I thought you would like, you've hated, and stuff I thought, fucking hell, this is going
to
be touch and go.
Batman,
and you loved.
He prefers the 89 Batman, which is the wacky, zany Batman, isn't it?
No,
it is now, but I think then that was like
the
dark brooding
Batman, not the gritty Batman we get now.
It was gritty.
Yeah, it's the joke Batman, isn't it? Yeah, I'm only joking. I'm trying to wind you up.
Stop.
It has, in a sense, now regarded though as a bit like camp compared to the ones that the Christopher Nolan verse now, because that was the dark brooding Batman. Then Joel Schumacher went ex-gay hairdresser Joel Schumacher.
It wasn't Batman. It wasn't his fault. It wasn't his fault. He tried with Batman Forever. He really did. And then they went, yeah, I have fucking what's her face in here.
I don't mind Forever that much though.
Who's the woman? Nicole Kidman. Honestly, you remove Chase Meridian from Batman Forever. You remove that entire subplot.
Sounds like a bank, doesn't it?
Of some woman playing Batman and Bruce Wayne against each other. That's a great film. That turns into a great film. But for some reason, this fucking bitch with a shit wig. A wig's gash, mate.
Hashtag Nicole Kidman wig watch.
She fucking gash. She plays Batman and Bruce Wayne against each other, and Bruce Wayne's just Val Kilmer's just going along with it. Fuck off. No, you Bruce Wayne, you got all the money in the world. Just
get another one. What, Hulk 7?
Yeah. He asks her at one point, do you want to go rock climbing? I love rock climbing. Shut up. And she says, oh yeah, I like rock climbing, but I'm busy. Fuck off.
That is a film I've not seen in a long time.
I watched it yesterday. It still bothers me.
Forever.
Speaking of Asians.
Racist.
that's an awkward segue.
Yeah. I did actually enjoy this film.
You did?
I did.
Even now watching it, I forget how much fun it was.
It is a very fun film. That's it. It's a fun film.
It is fun.
Even though it's derivative, and like I said, like Mortal Kombat's obviously nicked loads of elements from this one big one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nice.
So, do you want to wrap up? Is there anything you want to add to this magnum opus of the Carpenter Russell train just keeps on chugging?
I haven't seen a film with Carpenter and Russell that I haven't liked.
No.
And this one...
Which one haven't you seen yet? You haven't seen Elvis yet?
Elvis.
That's 3 hours long, by the way.
And I haven't seen Lost in... Not Lost
Translation
in.
With...
Escape from LA. I haven't seen Escape from LA.
That's got some great bits, I think, but...
I imagine this. It's a bit wacky like this, though.
Oh, you haven't seen Escape from LA?
No.
It's a remake of Escape from New York, but it's, the basketball bit's amazing. When he has to, deathmatch basketball game, that's one of the best bits of the film.
Okay.
But yeah, it's like this horse, isn't it? They're shooting for points and,
And then he's completely fucked and he has to make the shot and he's at the wrong end of the basketball hoop. The way he does it, it's fucking amazing. He's at the wrong end of the course. He keeps having to like shoot perfect hoops.
Yeah.
And he almost makes it to the end.
Oh, I am in.
It's Kurt Russell play. It's like White Men Can't Jump, but with Kurt Russell.
And he's got one more shot to make, and he's like literally 200 yards from the other side of the Olympic size basketball thing. And
he makes it.
And he has to get out of the situation. It's a great.
To be fair, I didn't like, because you assumed I wouldn't like this film, but I didn't know what it was. I think if someone would have explained it to me, I would have put myself off it.
Yeah, but I think that's why, because I've told you about, you should watch this, and I jizzle over it, and then you're like, yeah.
Blade Runner.
Yeah.
Blade Runner is one of those films that if it's built up too much,
no, I haven't,
will go in
I don't think
negative.
I ever saw Blade Runner. I just said it looks amazing and it's obviously got flaws.
Yeah. You did always
It doesn't quite hang together well as a film in the at the end of it, really.
Well, we
but
said
it looks amazing.
On well, Sean said on the
and it's nice to have on while you're doing things. It's like a nice background film.
Harrison Ford does not give a fuck through the entire film. He looks bored.
But I think that's kind of that's part of the noir thing, though, isn't it? Is that kind of he's the down and out.
But like he's built up like
but
Harrison Ford.
I feel that's all taken away when they took away the voiceover because the voiceover thing is meant to sound like an old pulp detective novel.
Yeah.
Like she walked into the bar, she had stems all the way up here. She plunked a lucky strike into her ruby reds and went, "Hey, doll."
And all that's, the bars and all the town, you have to walk into mine.
We recently took over the Epic Film Guys podcast and we discussed our top 10 overrated films. And you touched on Blade Runner and the fact that a film shouldn't need a director's cut.
I talked about Donnie Darko and how I don't like Donnie Darko. For one of the reasons is that it's got the director's edition, which supposed to be better, it explains more. But
yeah.
I don't get it, and I don't feel like a film should have to be re-released with extra scenes in order for it to make sense. I understand that
the director's got a vision,
but in post-production, especially if people change and people move out, that film can get tampered with and change, and that direction can change. But like with Blade Runner, I think with the additional scenes in the director's cut, it's a much different film.
Yeah,
and the fact that Ridley Scott has came out and said has come out and said that Deckard is a replicant, and that's his vision for the film is that he's a replicant, and that's that makes a lot more sense, and that makes the film a lot different when I watch it back. But I think when it came out originally and watching it, I probably wouldn't have enjoyed it at all. I'd have thought it was awful.
Everyone apart from Ridley Scott there is now saying Deckard isn't a replicant, and that was a silly idea.
Even Harrison Ford has said it was silly.
Because Ridley Scott loves doing that.
But I think it does sound good that he is. Yeah,
I think
it's like a nice twist.
He's a replicant made to hunt replicants and doesn't realise it. It's something really.
So you sold that to me. You explained the film as imagine if it was this, if it was a replicant who didn't know he was a replicant, hunting other replicants, and at the end finds out twist.
Yeah,
you are a replicant.
That sounds
like a good film.
Unicorn, that leaving the paper unicorn. That because he sees that and then he grabs.
But you wouldn't know that until
the
director's cut when they put that unicorn dream sequence in.
I've seen that. I've seen the dream. The dream,
which was test footage shot to see if they could get a horn to stick on a horse so they could shoot Legend, which was going to be his next film, which it was.
So you add that. It's like someone's gone to him after. Do you know what would have been brilliant? If he'd have been a replicant.
And he's gone, oh, fuck yeah. That's my idea, though.
Fuck! That's
my
a
idea.
Good idea.
Shit. I'm going to release a director's cut, and I'm going to put that in. Oh, look how good I am. How good I am.
He's not going to be like his films, though.
There's scenes in that as well, which, again, if you explain, the scenes where the replicants have him, they've got him, and they don't kill him, they leave him. And it's a bit like...
Yeah, the end of the film, he catches him, doesn't he? What's his name?
I'm going to throw it back to Aliens 3.
Roy Batty.
Yeah.
But that's because he finds... some Rooker beauty and real in human life. That's why he apparently saves him.
Is that why he holds the dove? And then when he dies, the dove flies away.
Aliens 3, Sigourney Weaver gets cornered by the alien, doesn't kill her.
Yes, because she's pregnant.
Why the alien leaves her alone.
Spoiler
and
alert.
Spoiler. Everyone he dies.
Everybody's dead, Dave.
And I think, again, that's quite... So if you're looking back at... Blade Runner with that, why did they let him leave?
Yeah.
It's because they know he's a replicant.
Too bad you will live, but then again, who does?
And I think that's just
I fucked that up, sorry.
But then you watched the film, you didn't enjoy it.
The problem was, right.
Cut his mic, get off your own show.
The problem
didn't
was,
like Blade Runner.
Blade Runner's this film, and Ethan has always said, it's this visually pleasing
flawed
film,
masterpiece.
But it's flawed.
Yeah.
So, other people don't give me the honesty that, say Ethan gave me. Lick it out like it's
Harrison Ford clearly doesn't
film.
Give a fuck.
Yeah.
He didn't get on with Sean Young.
No.
And he hated Ridley Scott. You can see that through the
you
film,
can see?
Which you can see.
You can tell.
And as a narrative, it kind of doesn't hang together that well.
Harrison Ford, from what I understand, is a bit of a miserable bastard anyway. That's part of his...
Bruce Willis. He just gave up in films. Last time Harrison Ford gave a fuck was The Force Awakens. He looked like he was actually having fun.
Here's loads of money and we'll kill you.
How much am I getting paid for this?
25 million.
Well, he wanted to get killed,
can you run for us, please, Harrison?
He wanted to get killed in the original trilogy. He wanted George Lucas to kill him off.
Which was a mistake. Because don't get me started on Last Jedi. Do you need to do a wrap-up on Big Trouble in Little China, by the way?
Yes, probably.
We're just going to let it flow.
Probably.
We talked about that. The bumper. So, Big Trouble Little China, very good. 6 out of 10.
Yeah, what would you, realistically, what would you give it out of 10?
For me.
What would 5-year-old Sean.
If we were recasting it now.
Watching it for the first time.
We'll recast, we'll do that in a bit.
If watching it for the first time, 8 out of 10, 9 out of 10.
Yeah.
Looking back at it now, we're taking the rose tinted specs off. Probably a 6. As a child, 8.
You first saw it as an adult?
I saw it as a kid, loved it. Actually, I didn't love it. I just thought it was good. And then it's grown on me over the time. I grew to love it more and more as I kind of appreciated the weirdness of it.
Yeah.
So then I would have given it maybe 5 out of 10. But now I would give it 8 because I think I love John Carpenter and Kurt Russell combos. And I think it's one of the better of theirs. Apart from Escape from New York, I think that's my second favourite of theirs.
Okay.
But yeah, it's just awesome. It's the gift that keeps on giving.
Okay. Somebody ask the question. Should we, hang on, ask the question for Blade Runner first. Rate Blade Runner out of 10. Because we've discussed Blade Runner, so I'm going to use this as a Blade Runner episode as well. Just to get the fucking nerds listening to me.
And Last Jedi.
Yeah.
You got them all.
I would give Blade Runner 7 out of 10, bit 5 being average. But yeah. I think, as I said, it looks amazing. It still looks amazing. But it's let down by Harrison Ford's the first inklings, like Bruce Willis, that he just doesn't give a care shit. Less. Whilst yeah. clearly wasn't getting on with Ridley Scott. Mm. Clearly had no anything to do with Sean Young. Didn't like her at all.
She's shit anyway. I'm glad she weren't Catwoman.
So
she was supposed to be Catwoman.
I'll give it a 7. It would have got maybe an 8 or a 9
yeah.
for its place in film history. But yeah, I think it's a good film
yeah.
as a film school piece that you'd study. But okay. it's not something I go back to. It's nice to have it on the background if you're doing something. And I love the visuals. And again, all the spinner's flare with that kind of like lens flare from the spinning lights, that still looks incredible today. And that's like...
So J.J. Abrams would love that film. The lens, yeah. lens flare everywhere.
Yeah.
It's a bit like, well, even the UFOs in Close Encounters with all the lights coming off them, the same guy that did it, Douglas Trumbull, that's why they wanted that effect. But it still looks great today. That's one thing that really does work. The flying cars and the sets and the models, it still looks fucking... like amazing, and on that basis alone, that's why he gets points. But it's not something I think, oh, I'll pop Blade Runner in. Having said that, I will watch Blade Runner 2049. I've seen that quite a few times now, and it still keeps getting better, even though it's not as visually stunning and it's too long at 2 hours 48 minutes. I think it's a 7 out of 10 for me. Sorry, lovers of Blade Runner.
Sean, Blade Runner,
based on just the film itself, like the acting, they say it'd probably score a bit like a 5, but once you start adding in visual effects.
You're coughing, I'm sniffing because my nose is blocked.
That was a sneeze.
Okay.
That's
a grown man's sneeze.
Grown ass man.
We've all got consumption listeners. We've got Victorian diseases. We talk about futuristic films.
AIDS and consumption. Yeah, so based on the film, the acting, like you said, that everyone's not really interested. No one wants to be there.
No.
It's quite clear.
Nobody wants to be there
like
at
5
all.
5 out of 10. But you start looking at some of the cinematography, the way it's shot, that's going to push it up like to a 7. And deep down, I'm a romantic at heart, and I love, and with the added story that he's, and more in my head, Deckard is a replicant.
And in mine.
You've made that up though.
I have, no. But because of that, because it's in my head and that's the way I look at it,
yeah.
It's going to come out as an 8.
No, but he is a replicant anyway. Though now, in the final cut, that's what suggests it is, so he is a replicant.
Ridley
I
Scott,
think
the bloke
he is.
Who wrote it and did it, he says he's replicant.
Well, he's not though, because he's not got the 4-year lifespan, has he?
I think cut
he's
the
a,
end.
He's a new model.
Cut the end off the theatrical version, which has got scenes from The Shining, which Stanley Kubrick shot, and they bought the footage off him. That's when they're escaping into the mountains. That's from The Shining.
Mm.
Cut that bit off, put yeah. the unicorn ending on, and leave the voiceover. That would be my cut of Blade Runner.
If Blade Runner was the film you sold to me as this replicant fighting replicant who doesn't know his replicant, all that shit. Then...
Well, there is one. There is a film called Replicant with Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Let's do that then. Let's just watch that. Then I would have really, really enjoyed Blade Runner.
Was it Cyborg? One of them.
Cyborg. So what a fucking film. I haven't seen that in years because they bleed white blood as well, don't yeah, they? Yeah. And he finds out at the end he's a robot. He's trying to fight. Oh, it was fucking great.
Early
film.
Van Damme rules.
I haven't seen that in years.
Yeah, it's a good shit Van
Is
Damme
that Van
film.
Damme?
Yeah, yeah. Cyborg.
Double Impact's a good film.
Put it in the diary.
That was one of the first sex scenes I ever watched.
Kickboxer.
Like my mom was in the room and I was like, oh, they're going to have sex now.
Cyborg. I'm going to put that on my notes. When I get home, I can download that.
Cyborg, Kickboxer.
Never seen Kickboxer.
Double Impact.
Double Impact's a good film.
What a film.
What's the other one?
Universal Soldier.
Universal Soldier 1992, that's good. And then it all fell apart after that. It also, a bit like Spielberg, Carpenter in that time limit of like late 70s, early 80s. Late 80s, early 90s was the Van Damme and the Seagal kind of era. And then after 1992, they all started kind of doing schlocky straight to video.
Mm.
I think, was that one?
Well, he went straight to Greg, didn't he?
What's the sports stadium one when he's like a security guard at the sports stadium? It's like a Die Hard type film. Is it Game of Death? Death?
I thought you meant Bruce Willis there for a second.
No,
you,
sorry.
Unbreakable. that shit one where he plays, you fucking, what?
Peter Hames directed it. Oh, what is it? Sudden Death.
Sudden Death.
That's it. That was a good one. And then after that.
Did you know Jean-Claude Van Damme was supposed to play the Predator as well?
He did.
Yeah, he was too short though, weren't he?
Too small.
No, that's the running scenes is Van Damme, and he played the creature when it was the red suit with the praying mantis head. And yeah. when they got it to set, they were like, we can't fucking do this. So they shut production down.
They stood next to Arnie, didn't they? And he was just like, there was a massive difference.
And Stan Winston literally ran off with James Cameron's suggestion to do Mandibles and just came up with this Rastafarian, like African warrior type.
Goddamn sexual tyrannosaurus.
The bones, they always say the same.
So then Van Damme was basically out, and then Kevin Peter Hall did all of it.
They were going to do it more as like a quicker, agile predator, wasn't it?
But the bit where he runs and he jumps on the rocks and then he lands on that log and Arnie's under the log, that's Van Damme. That's the only bits he's in.
Okay, I didn't know that. I know that he was aimed to do it, and then but I didn't know he actually
There's actually a scene with him sitting with Carl Weathers with like the arm of the red suit on, just looking fucking pissed off. And Carl Weathers sitting next to him.
You son of a bitch.
I would give Blade Runner a
sorry, we didn't ask it,
but 4 out of 10.
How much?
4.
And then add everything else on?
No, it would have a 4.
Oh.
A solid 4. And that's generous.
But you
generous
know,
4.
But we've thrown twice at you now, more than that, this evening, the visuals of Blade Runner.
That's what gets it the 4?
Come on. It's even now, out of 10.
4?
Ridley Scott is going to come over to your house and punch you in the nose.
Sorry.
Ridley Scott's overrated.
My phone keeps beeping.
He's English as well, isn't he? So he probably could.
The visuals still hold up today. Come on.
I've said it before. Four. I'll say it again. The remake of RoboCop looked visually pleasing, but that's not a good film.
No, that was dross. That was dross.
Doesn't make visuals don't make it a good film.
We'll keep the arm. Is that the only twist?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, and Michael Keaton's great in that film. Yeah,
but Michael Keaton's great in everything.
Michael Keaton's great in
The Other Guys.
Yes, he is.
Okay, there's a rapist going for the... Actually, that's the wrong one. Oh, but girls, if you are going to travel, make sure you travel in pairs.
Just don't go chasing waterfalls.
I don't want no scrubs.
Are you doing TLC? I don't know what you're talking about. Is he doing TLC? I don't know what you're talking about.
Sorry, there it is. I'm showing listeners the picture of Van Damme. Not the red arm. He's got the actual Predator arm on, and he's looking fucking
He does look pretty pissed off, yeah. He's probably just been sacked.
Might be racism. I think he's just been told it's
not going to be him in the film. It's Kevin Peter Hall, and he's just being basically fired.
Is he not credited for it then?
I don't think he is. Unless he wanted his name taken off, and maybe that's what it was. But like, he did the two running shots, then he was out basically, and then it was Kevin Peter Hall.
But did he get paid?
I guess he would be.
So what films have we come away with tonight then? So we've all come away with films that we haven't seen, we need to watch.
Hang on, Blade Runner.
Ask
if Blade Runner was worth it.
You need to watch Street Fighter.
We need to put
Toffer.
Yes.
This emergency 10-minute episode about Blade Runner that you didn't like. Was it worth it?
No, next.
A lot of angry people.
Toffer. Was Big Trouble Little China worth it?
Yes.
Good man.
Good. I agree. I also think it's worth it. I still think it's worth it. I think it's like it's got enough wacky ideas, and I think because of that, it's kind of aged very well.
I am very surprised there hasn't been this whole universe expanded from this film. Like, why isn't Jack Burton like a massive character that's in lots of other films?
Because the film cost $22 million to make, and I think it made 11 at the box office, and that was that, I guess.
There's my answer.
Which is sad, because you're absolutely right. It does deserve.
It deserves more. Definitely a Netflix series.
Big Trouble. Out of all the things in Netflix, they need to. So the TV series, they need to. Fucking Lethal Weapon was not one of the ones they needed to remake.
Who was that guy playing Riggs?
Apparently, Lethal Weapon's pretty good, though.
The TV series. Mm-hmm.
It's supposed to be pretty good.
It's not Mel Gibson.
Never been Mel Gibson.
He's even Australian. I think he's even Australian, is he?
He's born in New York, but he moved to Australia when he was 5 and then moved back, I think, when his film career kicked off.
That's probably the only reason he's got the job, is because he's. He's not Mel Gibson.
Never been Mel Gibson.
No. I love Mel.
No.
Even he's a Jew-hating crazy man who drinks too much and chokes his wife.
He said he was sorry. He did say he was sorry.
It's not enough.
He's back.
You have to pay
for
him
in a big way.
He's back. Daddy's home too. Successful film.
I've downloaded that. I need to watch that.
Mel Gibson's back.
If you could recast it then, who would you cast now?
Home too. Dennis Quaid.
Exactly the same. Everyone, John Cena for everything.
And now I suppose you'd have to go for Chris Pratt.
Yes, you would. Chris
Pratt-y
film. He did
film.
That perfect, yeah.
Having said that, because of Guardians 2, I still think Kurt Russell can pull off
Russell could probably still play the same character.
I think he's still to snake one more Escape from New York film. Do a low budget version with John Carpenter.
It'd be London, wouldn't it?
That's one from the Metal Gear.
Can you imagine it all grizzled and 70 with a beard and his eye patch? He'd look fucking great.
He would look good. I'll say Chris Pratt's a great choice.
Is it wrong in my head? I can't think of one single Asian actor.
Jackie Chan,
Jet Li.
That's the only two people I can think of. He was meant to be the monk.
Bulletproof Monk.
No, Star Wars. The new Star Wars.
The Rogue One.
Yeah, he wanted $1 million.
I'm with the Force.
I think he wanted $1 million and they wouldn't pay him. And then Johnny went, I'll do it for $500,000.
Pay the man! Jackie Chan's good in Ninjago, the Lego movie.
Never seen a Jackie Chan film.
and Rush Hour.
Even like Police Story and the old stuff.
You haven't seen Rush Hour?
I've seen the scissor where he breaks every burnt nose.
Never seen Rush Hour.
Which one of you kicked me? I ain't playing now. Which one of you kicked me?
It's a Mushu.
I don't know why I never saw those films.
You've got to watch Rush Hour.
Rush Hour 2.
I've seen him in...
Watch Rush Hour.
I've seen the Friday films and I've seen Fifth Element and stuff with Chris...
Watch Rush Hour. Ooh. Rush Hour 1 and 2. Rush Hour 3 is still pretty good. It's a bit shit, but it's still
good.
They're
all Brett Ratner films.
Yeah, don't worry, baby.
Oh, I don't, dude. I don't worry about that kind of stuff. Baby.
I can't, apart from, like you say, Chris Pratt is praying.
He's cornered that market of cocky.
Jack Burton.
Jack Burton. I can't think of anyone else who would.
And you can't think of any Asians because you're a racist.
I even think Chris Pratt is more Captain Kirk, Shatner esque, than Chris Pine. I think he should have been Captain Kirk.
Wasn't Pratt, when Chris Pine got cast, wasn't Pratt still doing like Parks Recreation? Was a big,
I don't think he was. He wasn't a big enough star then. It's only Guardians that's made him a star. Had that happened,
well,
he'd still be on.
I don't know who did it. I remember because Chris Pratt was obviously, he was in Parks Recreation. He was known for being quite tall, but a bit dad body.
Oh, he was
body.
Tubby as fuck. This is like Channing Tatum film.
Really tubby.
And he was really fat in that as well. And then Guardians came out.
Whoever did Guardians, they got Chris Pratt to come and do the audition. And whoever said, he said he nailed the audition so well that even if he hadn't lost the weight, they still would have cast him.
I think that would have made it funnier if he was, had weight on his
face. But he obviously lost the weight and he looks easier.
Because then he could have been chasing the green one and it would have been funnier.
Because he gets the three personality.
It would make him more of a kind of no hope type character, wouldn't it?
Yeah, because then he takes his shop off and he's ripped.
You want some cheese?
Yeah. Where can people find you on social media, Sean?
You can find me at Lawful Good Sean.
You need a funnier name.
I do. I was going to put I know my daddy's.
Dungeons and Dragons. I used to play it.
Yeah, but like Michael's got Sean's mom's name on.
Michael's is Magic the Gathering Michael. So there
Michael's
we go.
At KimTimmin69.
Which is my mum's name. so I was going to put at I know where my daddy's.
Bant.
But I don't want to lose my Twitter name, so.
No. Sean is at Lawful Good Sean. Find the show at Was It Worth It Pod. Find the Master Debaters at _ Master Debaters.
By the way, before we wrap up, I'll say this to listeners and Sean. As you do like John Carpenter films, and so do you now, apparently.
Yeah.
There's a film that came out last year called The Void, and it's a mix of Event Horizon meets The Fog.
Event Horizon, great.
Meets
film.
The Wicker Man. It's got the Illuminati, and it's so got weird monks. It's got pagans. It's got The Thing in it. It's got shape-shifting.
Yeah.
It's called The Void. It's the fucking void. Amazing. It's the best John Carpenter film never made. I saw it last week. It blew my socks off, and I've told everyone, including the three cuckoos, you guys should watch that film.
Okay, I'll watch that, definitely.
It's really, really good. I'd never heard of it. Someone said it's the best John Carpenter film ever made. I watched it. It's fucking banging. For an independent shit little horror film, it's mint.
There you go. Follow the Master Debaters on Facebook. Watch our fire ass videos. We will be at Birmingham HorrorCon the 24th and 25th of February. We'll be ruining a couple of panels that weekend because we've been told to be serious.
We've been told to take it seriously. So we will not. In fact, we might not get invited for day 2.
No.
That might be the plan.
That'd be dead good. Ruin day 1 that much.
Yeah, we don't get invited back for day 2.
That might not be a bad shout. People definitely remember us.
That's okay. So, you're an expert in ghosts. I take it you haven't got a lot of disposable income. like, what do? You beg, or are you just completely DSS?
Yeah.
Cut.
There you go. We're gone. I think that's everything I need to say.
No, thank you very much for having me on the show.
Thank you for being on, Sean.
It's nice to be a guest, actually.
And thanks
nice
for me, for what he said.
Yeah. It's been a lovely experiment.
I liked it too.
Lovely experiment.
Being opening your home to me.
Being in your kettle. Yeah. Yeah. It's nice,
I never get offered a cup of tea normally when I come round.
No.
I like this top, though. This is the top when Mark's not here.
Well, I have to be, because I'm sort of the middleman in the Master Debaters. Like, Mark or Salt, you're not, and I'm in the middle. Mm. I'm sort of a go-between. Whereas with Ethan just... It depends what we're talking about. So I just not, I sort of counter him normally. So it's nice to have a third. So, I don't know, it's weird. It opens me up.
Okay. I'm glad I come round here and open you up.
Open me up. It's lovely to have you.
Chooch. Oh, that's not right, is it? No.
Bye, everybody.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. Love you.
You can feel the wind is rising, baby. Now the truth is here.